Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Revelation in chapter 21. The book of Revelation in chapter 21. The Lord helping me, and I do mean that. I need help physically, spiritually, and mentally, and otherwise. I want to talk about tonight about the no mores found in the book of Revelation in chapter 21. There's just an awful lot of stuff I'll be glad when I don't have to put up with it anymore. And I'm glad that there's a bunch of stuff that's going to disappear. And I don't have to do anything. God's going to take care of it. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you for the joy that's ours in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the good song service, which we've just enjoyed, for the wonderful number that the choir sang. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now as we open the book to let you examine our hearts and invite the Holy Spirit to do his work. Lord, I pray that you'd cause us to rejoice where we need to rejoice and to weep where we need to weep. Change what needs to be changed as you would help us. I do ask for physical strength, Lord, to do what I want to do tonight, what I think you'd have me to do. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A number of things are going to disappear. If you would look with me at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Why? "For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." I remember many years ago debating with a lady who's with the Watchtower Society. You ever heard about those folks? And she and a little girl came with their little Victrola to our house. That's just how long it's been. Our Victrola is a record player, guys.
What's a record?
Anyway, little thing that you play and it makes noise. And she had a recording that she wanted to play for me. Well, somehow, we didn't listen to the recording, but we got onto the subject of the fact that God was going to get rid of this earth and bring in a new heaven and a new earth. And she says, "Oh, no, we don't believe that at all. Why would God destroy this beautiful world? He's not going to do that." Well, I was young and innocent and ignorant, more ignorant than anything else, and I didn't know what to tell her. I just knew that somewhere somebody told me that God was going to destroy the world. And now I know where. I wish she'd come back, but she's not coming back anymore. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. These beautiful foothills are going to be gone. And nobody's going to shed a tear. How about that? Those wonderful Rocky Mountains are going to be gone. The beautiful hills and mountains of West Virginia are going to be gone. That's going to be sad. All gone. The Pacific Ocean will be gone. We just read it right here. It's going to be gone. You can't stand on the shore of California, if there were a California, and look out over the Pacific. It isn't going to happen. It'll be gone. A number of things are going to happen. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, just before that, "I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." What fled away? The earth and the heaven. And there was found no place for them. God is not going to allow those folks, what stand at the great white throne judgment, to have anything to stand upon. All the old excuses, all of the old alibis are gone. Everything with which you're familiar is gone. And it's just you and God, face to face. The old heaven and the old earth are gone. In 2 Peter chapter 3, you just listen if you would. I've got a 3-hour sermon I want to get done in 2 hours and a half. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, "That the day of the Lord will come as the thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Take that, Watchtower. You can't explain that away. Now, here's something for us to take to heart. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation," that is lifestyle and godliness. You and I do believe that this is going to happen. Well, you know what? We probably ought to live a little different than we do a lot of times. We put an awful lot of our life into things that are going to amount to nothing. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have things to enjoy. I have a lot of things to enjoy, and I enjoy them. But I don't want to worship those things. I don't want to invest my life in them. They're temporal. They're going away. They're going to disappear when the earth burns up. Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's the good part. That's a good part. And we're going to dwell on that, God helping us, for quite some time. There's going to be some no mores happening. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Already a bunch of us, if we could just muster up the strength, would say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. And we'd run around the auditorium. Hallelujah. Whew. No more crying. There's not a person in this auditorium who has not cried for a lot of different reasons. There'll be no more crying. No more crying. I said, no more crying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think I want to say it one more time. No more crying. You know, I'm the kind of guy, I mean, I'm rough and tough and strong and brave and all that, but I can weep at the opening of a new supermarket, you know. I get to thinking of all the wonderful things it's going to do for all the little old ladies that are going to go to it, you know. And that kind of crying, I guess, is all right. But the sad stuff. You know, I sat down at the piano tonight trying to amuse myself a little bit, and I came across the song called I'll See You Again. You know that song? I'll see you again, I'll see you again, I'll see you in heaven someday. For now it's goodbye, don't sorrow or cry. And about that time I start crying, just like I'm going through here. I'll see you in heaven someday. There will be no inclination to cry in that day. There'll be nothing to cry about. You know, my mother used to, she'd paddle me, or I'd be upset about something and start crying. She says, you better hush or I'll give you something to cry about. Yeah, there'll be nothing. Your mama said the same thing, didn't she? But there'll be nothing to cry about then. There'll be no more pain. Hallelujah. You won't need that Amish miracle salve. Hallelujah. Yep. You won't have to have it anymore. And we won't need any more of those expensive medicines. We won't even need cheap medicine because we won't have any illness. Can you imagine? Wow. No more crying. No more pain. No more physical pain of any kind. No more disease. I don't know how many people you have in your family that have diseases, but it seems like an awful lot of people in Mary's family and in my family have ailments that are very, very serious. You know, we have a niece that just suffered a stroke. I'll grant you, our niece now is, you know, pushing 60 years old. Seems like she ought to be a little girl. But in all of her life that I have known her, she's been sick. She took a this thing they're always wanting you to get for the flu. Immunization. Yeah, she took an immunization for polio. And you know the rest of the story. It crippled her for the rest of her life. And now she's had a stroke. It's just one thing after another, after another, after another. It's only going to get worse until it gets better. And when it gets better, it's going to be better. There'll be no more hurting, no more crying, no more disease. There's another thing it's not going to be. And ladies, you need to take your positions, please. You know who you are. That's you, Sarah. And that's you, Aggie. All right? And I need you to open your songbooks to number 433. And we're going to sing a song about a land where we'll never grow old. Woo! All right. We're going to stand. This is not a funeral dirge, all right? We're going to sing it to the as loud as we can sing it. I want you to make the flags wave, all right? And tenors, when you get on that chorus, never grow old. Just as loud as you can, all right? And bass men back there, I know who you are. I want to hear you. Boom, boom, boom. When I grow up, I'm going to sing bass, but I'm not grown up yet, as you can tell. All right, we're going to sing all three of them. Are you ready? I have heard of a land. Come on, a far away strand. It's a view. Yeah. It's a view. Now let's hear you. Ready? Never grow old where we'll never grow old in a land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old, never grow old in a land where we'll never grow old. On the second, it falls home. Where we never shall roam. Now let's hear you. Ready? Never roam. When our work here is done and our life crown is won, watch. Never grow old, never grow old in a land where grow old, never grow old. Never grow old. No more pain. No more hurting. No more salves. No more shots. Hallelujah. Whew! And if they have singing up there and I get to direct any of it, I won't have to faint. You know how come it's this way? Because somehow I got old when I wasn't looking. It didn't used to bother me. That's all that happened is I got old. But, praise God, no more accidents. No more accidents. No more people mutilated. No more hurting from that. No more emotional pain. You won't remember all the cruel things that people said about you. No more rejection. Yep. No more disappointments. You were counting on something, weren't you? You got nothing.
nothing but trouble. It'll never happen again. It will never happen there. No more spiritual pain. No more struggles. Spiritual warfare. We're going to learn after a while the devil won't be there. Oh, no more pain from personal sin. Do you ever get disgusted with yourself? I find myself often having to go to God and say, God, I don't know why you put up with me. I make promises that I don't keep. That'll never happen again. Not there, it won't. No more separation. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. And death is separation. Separation. Death separates us from our loved ones. The ones that we used to hold in our arms. The ones that we used to fellowship with. We can't do it anymore. We're separated from them. But there'll be no separation there. None. Hallelujah. No more separation. The Spirit of God moved the Apostle Paul to write in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." By the way, he didn't say don't sorrow, did he? He says just don't sorrow like the people who have no hope. I feel sorry for you if you've lost a loved one and you don't still miss them. You know? I have grandparents who have been gone for, it seems like, a century. And I still miss them. My mom and my dad. I don't remember how old I was when my mother died. I think it was about 40 or so. And I still felt like an orphan. Anybody else identify with that? But I won't feel like an orphan there. Hallelujah. Those days will be gone. Then he says, "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And you can finish it with me. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." That's enough to make a Baptist shout right there. No more death. No more separation. Hallelujah. There'll be no more soldiers dying. You know, you get to thinking about it, and somebody said that wars were said by the old men to be so necessary, but the old men aren't the ones who go. It's the young men who die. And I'm not saying they shouldn't go. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying it won't happen anymore. They won't take your son.
Amen.
They won't take your daddy. No more war. The last enemy that shall be defeated is death. May I read for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. By the way, that's the resurrection chapter, right? If you didn't know that, burn that in your heart tonight. When you want to know about the resurrection, you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12 says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" I'd like to preach on that for a while in some of these modernistic churches. To them, the resurrection is a spiritual thing. Baloney. Any way you slice it, that's baloney. Yep. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" Think about that. If there's no resurrection of the dead, Christ has not been raised from the dead. And that has some real ramifications. And God gave them to us. "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain." And your faith is also vain. If our Lord Jesus did not literally, physically come out of the tomb, literally, physically walk upon the earth, literally, physically ascend into heaven, where he literally, physically sits tonight, and he will literally, physically return to the earth, then we might as well go home. We'd be better off going home. We could find something useful to do. Because this is not useful if there's no resurrection and Jesus didn't raise from the dead. But God's not done. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Preacher, you and I are liars. Brother Miller, you are too. You've preached that he rose from the dead. We've deceived people. It isn't that way. False witnesses, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if the dead raise not. And if the dead raise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. You and I are going to go straight to hell if Jesus is not alive, if there is no resurrection. Then they also which sleep in Jesus, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, are fallen in Christ, are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know what that means? As much, and I'm confessing some of my sin here, as much as I despise the Muslims and what they're doing, and I know I have a problem with that. Pray for me. Help me. But having said that, I feel sorry for them. They're blowing themselves up, mangling themselves for nothing. All they're doing is getting to hell faster. And because the truth is the truth, they are in this at this time of all men most miserable. They're working the hardest, sacrificing the most, far more than we are. For something that is a lie. However, if Christ is not raised from the dead, and there is no resurrection, and all we have is the Christendom that we have now, we are all, of all men, most miserable. Because we're denying ourselves in this life in the hopes of another one that doesn't exist. That's exactly what God's talking about. There is a resurrection, and Christ is the first fruits of that resurrection. And he says, because I live, ye shall live also. Amen? He is alive. The Bible says, for since by man came death, that was Adam, we all died in Adam, didn't we? Our father died in sin. And he begat children just like himself. We are sinners because Adam was a sinner. My boy is a sinner because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner because my dad was a sinner. He's a sinner because his dad was a sinner. You get what you are, not what you'd like to be. So, since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Who's that man? Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ had to become a man because salvation had to come by a man. But the men and I see in this auditorium won't do it. Only the Lord Jesus could do it. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. If you are in Christ, you're alive. If you're simply in Adam, you're dead. Doesn't mean you're worse than anybody else. Doesn't mean you're any better than anybody else. It simply means you're on your way to hell. That's going to be the natural outcome of your nature. You are a sinner by nature. And that nature is what will take us to hell, not our acts. Preacher and I witnessed to a lady this weekend, and she was smoking a cigarette as we talked to her. And she says, well, there's some people who say this is a sin, as she held it up. But yes, there's two of them standing right here, but we didn't tell her that. You see, that was not her problem. Her problem was not the cigarette.
That's right.
It was going to just get her to her reward faster. Now that sounds cruel, but that's the way it was. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall every man be made alive. Well, then it goes on to say in verse 26 that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But it will happen. It will happen. There is coming a time when nothing else will die. I don't know how many times Mary and I have gone down the highway and we'll see some little kitty at the side of the road, you know, or at somebody's dog or something. And most of the time, she can tell you, I'll say, poor little thing, you know. And I'm not after you hunters. Go after them. That's what God gave you, you know. I'm not after that. I'm talking about things that died for no reason whatsoever. You know, my heart goes out to them. That's the only life they've got, you know. Well, it is. I mean, nothing should have to die that way. But it isn't going to happen anymore. There's not going to be any critters run over in the new heaven, in the new earth. Hallelujah. You say they're going to be critters? Well, how are they? What are they going to ride from heaven? Horse. I'll just leave it alone. Okay? I mean, what are you going to do with that? Oh, well, let's go on. No more sin. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. No more devil to tempt us. I almost went down a fast list of eschatological happenings, so the doctrine of last things happening, so that we could get all this in a chronology. But the devil's going to be in the bottomless pit by this time, folks. He ain't going to bother you anymore. He ain't going to bother me. He ain't going to bother anybody. No devil, no evil to resist the good. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean there's going to be no ACLU. You know who they are. There's going to be no atheists in heaven. There are going to be no world council of churches in heaven. They're going to be where the boogeyman is. No more devilish false religions to kill and to maim. Everybody will know the truth and live the truth. Not only no more sin, but it stands to reason then there will be no more sinners. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No more fearful and unbelieving. No more abominable things. No more murderers. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven who murdered somebody else. Going to be a lot of adulterers in heaven, former adulterers. You know where I'm going. God gave quite a list of despicable sins. And He followed that list with these words, and of such were some of you, but you were washed, and you were cleansed. Everybody in heaven is going to be a saved sinner, but it's going to be in the past. And there'll be no sinners there. Hallelujah. Yeah. Songwriter said how beautiful heaven must be. And that's going to be part of the beauty. All the folks there you can fellowship with. Nobody's going to argue with you. You're all going to have the same wonderful standards. You're all going to, you know, you're going to want to sit around
and talk to one another and praise the Lord and worship Him. And I don't know what all we're going to be doing, but I know we're going to get along. And there's going to be no seed of anything that's wrong. I simply can't imagine it. I've never known anything like that. And you haven't either. Now there is going to be an earth. And there's going to be a heaven. Remember? It's a new heaven. And a new earth. You say, well, what's it going to be like? I don't know. And you don't either. But if this old one that was being wrecked by sin is what it is, can you imagine how beautiful the new earth will be?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I envision it still having the West Virginia mountains, and something like the Rockies, and I still envision it having beautiful things that we're accustomed to, but it may not be like that at all. But I know whatever it is, it's going to scratch us where we itch. It's going to make us feel good. We're going to be happy that we're there. Amen? You won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed at all. The old heaven and the old earth have passed away. No more sin. No more sorrow. No more sinners. Joy. Holiness. Peace. Love. All there. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Joy without end. And God's people said,
amen.
Are you ready? The old songwriter said, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Y'all know that song? Are you ready? And I'm thinking particularly, are you saved? Do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're on your way to heaven? Could you give me a Bible reason why you know you're on your way to heaven? May I say to you what I'm accustomed to saying to people when I try to witness to them? If you were to stand before God and He should say to you, Brother Jeff, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell him? You know what most people say? Well, I tried to do right. You know you're talking to somebody who's lost. They're either lost or they're so ignorant that they need to be taught again what be the primary things about salvation. They may be saved and they don't know it. You know? But we'll assume they're not. What's the right answer? If you should stand before God and He should say, why should I let you into my heaven? The only right answer is something like this. I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that He is your Son, that He's God, and that He died for my sin. And the best I knew how, I accepted Him. I have no righteousness of my own. I have His righteousness given to me. Now, they may not be able to express it in, you know, that direct terms, but it must be like that. How about you, friend? If I had approached you and say, are you 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? Could you have given me an answer like that? I hope so. And if you can't, would you let us help you tonight? Make sure that you have that right answer and that it's a truthful one, not just something to get somebody off your back. Would you stand with me, please? And with every